A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the real shortages won't. Because of how slow ships move for most of this war, the U.S. was still receiving oil that set sail months ago. But other parts of the world are already feeling it. Asia, Europe, Africa. That's why prices are rising now, because demand is increasing as supply tightens. But the U.S. is just beginning to experience the real shortage, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last for much, much longer. Oil doesn't just power your car, it powers the systems that make and deliver your medications, and when supply slows, access becomes less predictable. The difference between panic and peace is preparedness with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're already ready when you need it. Get your Jace case today at jace.com.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only Get Your Questions Ready podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser, as usual. Plenty to get to today. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, of course, moved to 4-0 as they whipped the BC Lions on Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. Is it me, or does it feel like that game was an eternity ago already?
It really does. And I know Greg and I, which, by the way, I'm so glad you're back. It is way too much work hosting.
Like you're obviously doing a lot more work than I do, because I don't really do anything.
But like this, I just get to show up and like, okay, I've got my two drinks. I show up. We bullshit for a bit. We hit record. Away we go. Last week it was like, hey, these are the talking points. I had to have stuff up. And it was like, I had to do, even the funniest thing is Greg even did the editing for me. So all I had to do was insert the ad break.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he actually did that for you. Wow.
Ah, Greg's a nice guy. What could I say?
I mean, I guess you were using his technology, so it probably made sense.
Right. So he Dropboxed it over. Boom, I put in the ad break and hit publish. So, but still, that is too much work for me, Joel. I've got too much on the go. I'm glad you're back.
I guess this is where if we actually did more editing, this is where we would insert the, like, Eric Bischoff music. I'm back! And better than ever.
It's like maybe
not the better than ever part, but...
Well, Greg dropped the Krusty the Clown. What the hell was that in the middle of the episode?
While I was away in Ontario, I did not listen to the first episode I missed.
That's fair. It wasn't very good.
Mainly because you told me it wasn't very good.
Not on you, Greg.
And quite often I don't listen to the podcast when I'm not on it. And I don't listen to it when I'm on it either, quite frankly.
That's fair. That's why you're listening.
But I know what happens on the podcast because I'm sitting here talking to you.
Yes.
But yeah, on the plane ride back, I did listen to the one you guys did about Luke Wilson, because one, you said it was good, and two, I obviously had time to kill on the plane. So I was like, well, I might as well check in and listen to it. Yes, and I did catch that, and it should have clicked into me then that obviously you didn't add that, because you never would have done that.
Well, the nice thing is Greg's software has like hotkeys. So he could just like go to it without editing. It
was
that
big Piffles money they got. So
yeah, they got that set. They got that TV money. We got the the last podcast not on YouTube money.
Well, we're technically on YouTube. There's just no video.
Oh right, yes,
because it is there. It is posted. So again, if you like to listen to stuff on YouTube but not actually watch, we're there for you. We have you.
Or if you're reluctant to watch on YouTube because you have to look at the two of us,
If you want to open YouTube and just look at a still image of the logo the entire time, there you go. 40 minutes, usually, give or take, of the Three Down Greencast logo and us talking. And it's riveting stuff.
I mean, in fairness...
which Greg also made the logo for us. So, I mean, he's essentially on the non-existent payroll at this point.
Yes, yes. So don't worry. I usually buy Greg a pint or two come draft weekend. So
no, we did compensate him with booze for doing the logo, to be clear. To be clear, that did happen. So
we're not that cheap. Like, we're cheap.
I mean, we didn't pay for the booze, but... But it was sponsored booze that was given to us that we gave to him. So
anybody that knows us is not surprised by any of these statements.
No, not in the slightest. If you're a long enough listener of this program, hi, Dave, Jock, Grammy, a few others, you would know that there is a bit of a tradition around here.
Yes.
And that is the first bye week of the regular season. Of course, the Riders are on it right now, as we are more of a podcast that looks back on the week that was than the looking ahead to the week ahead. That means next week, we do not have a game to talk about. You know what that means? It's time for another rousing edition of Ask John Anything.
Woo! And we literally mean anything. Those
anything.
Of you that are new to the program, like Zach Kolaris' lawyers, you go right ahead. Ask us. It doesn't have to be football. It can be life-related, can be rush-related, can be parenting-related, can be literally anything. Can be shaving-related, as I know that was once a hot button issue for you, Jock.
Mm-hmm. Toyota Ends-related. I mean, are you having issues talking to someone on the website?
Oh, God, don't get me started on the AI. Listen. Oh, literally before, like if I
you know
had
how you knew
hair,
I had to slip that in somewhere, right?
I knew it was coming. I know AI. I've decided that AI cannot take over the world because it's just too fucking stupid.
Mm.
You could instruct it the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and then bust it out in all caps, and then swear at it, and it still doesn't do it. Now I think it's trolling me. Maybe it's just so smart, it's fucking with me.
It's entirely possible. I wouldn't put it past it.
It's feasible. It's not a real explanation anymore. But if you're having problems with our website, don't worry. I am working to fix them because that's in the job description now. I'm just a big team guy. What can I say?
Yeah. Submit your questions through whichever platform way you possibly can. You can find me.
Comment on YouTube.
You could. I probably won't see it. I don't go to check, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, now we're going to have to check. Just this. Right. I mean,
I've hidden the views on YouTube, I believe, so I don't think they're publicly listed. The odd time I've looked, it's very, very low. Which isn't surprising for a non-visual podcast, to be fair.
I mean, in fairness, we are doing numbers that are similar to a podcast that was advertised on a billboard before.
Yeah, that's overall across the actual audio platforms. Our provider doesn't give us the YouTube number, so I don't actually know
fair.
Specifically what those look like, or they're so low it's just not registering in sort of the snapshot of where people are listening, which is fine. We always said along, it was there to get us on YouTube Music. It just happens to come with a YouTube channel. So
That's fair. Mm-hmm. It is... We've been on there for a while. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, we did that a while ago. We did it in the off season at some point, didn't we? Or something? Last year, maybe? Yeah. Maybe last season? I don't remember when we did it.
I also love that...
It also put in the whole back catalog, so...
Yeah, it did. And some of those have literally no views. I'm looking at the numbers.
I'm not surprised.
I'm literally looking at the numbers right now. Okay, if you're watching on YouTube, you have to ask a question because we have... you didn't hide the views.
Oh, I thought I did. Anyway, it doesn't
matter. Three views, five views... Four views, six views, two views. We got one view. Ada Nation got one view.
Nice.
And even it's funny because we've been talking about this privately, how the Curtis Rourke episode absolutely went off.
Mm-hmm.
It's even got seven views on YouTube.
Yeah. I guess that's an explosion for YouTube.
Sorry,
for us anyway.
Those are some big ballish numbers.
Mm-hmm. Submit your questions, I guess, in the YouTube comments if you'd like. I am no longer active on Twitter, so tweet at John. He'll send me screenshots. John usually, in fairness, knows most of the questions anyway before we go on. Well, he sees them at some point. Whether he remembers them or not is another question.
I don't. Short-term memory issues, seven concussions, mm-hmm. right?
You can find me on Blue Sky, Jay Gasson, if you're not already following me. If you have me on other social platforms like Instagram or the other Meta one, feel free to shoot me a message there. We'll be able to find that as well. Just various ways, and we will do the best we can to answer as many questions. I know, Greg, you will message me at some point, so it'll be fine.
Of course, text message, carrier pigeon, billboards outside of Mosaic Stadium. We can all take all of those in. But yeah, I can't wait. I always have a lot of fun, and not just because it's a really cheap excuse to get like a little too drunk on a weekday.
Yeah, it's a sort of a thing that we just started doing for fun, and it's kind of it's worked and it's snowballed, and we every time we do it, we end up getting a question or two from someone we've never actually gotten a question from before, and that's when I know that it's working.
Oh, 100%. And actually, it's funny. On top of the Curtis work, as I continue scrolling back through our videos, the only tie for Curtis Rourke is the Ask John Anything Holiday Edition 2024.
Ah, yes.
So
that was yeah. The holiday one is something we just kind of fell into as well, and I kind of like it too.
It kind of works, and I can't wait. It is one of the highlights of my summer, and I always try to schedule it. I've gotten smarter. I now schedule it either when I have sports drinks in the house or when I don't have to work, it ends the next day. I'm sorry, marketing guy, Justin, boss man, Darren, but come on, you guys.
Yeah, they know. they've known you long enough. You've worked there long enough. Like, they know.
5 years this week.
Wow.
I know. Ties for the longest job I've had of Sasstune Media Group, so. So
we all know how that ended. So
yeah. I don't plan on leaving, or to quote Sam Bennett, who was quoting The Wolf of Wall Street, "I'm not effing leaving." And if I did, I definitely wouldn't burn that bridge with nuclear fire.
No.
I like a lot of people there.
That's fair enough. A lot of people are liking the Saskatchewan Roughriders right now.
Boom!
As
there you
they
go.
Are at 4-0 on the regular season for the second straight year under Corey Mace. We will talk about the game against the BC Lions, and the CFL did something today that we've been wondering and asking for a long time. Negotiation lists are now public.
Yes.
Which is really cool. So we'll get into that as well. But as always, John, before all that, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, what is in the glass this week?
I don't think we're going to have a matchy-matchy this week. I went off the rails. Went with something different. Mostly, I wanted something summery and different, and I'm also cheap. So on sale at Sobey's Liquor in Saskatoon for $14 for four, High Keys Brewing alcoholic ginger beer with lemon and lime. I can tell you got the backyard all set up for the kids, like the little kiddie pool, slip and slide, had that all going yesterday. And I just sat on the deck and housed a few of those, and it was nice and summery. I surprisingly had one left in the fridge for recording tonight. And, of course, that is accompanied by a little Lucky Bastard vodka. Bryce, because if you're on the road, you're listening, I will be texting you tomorrow with the refill for this month.
Fair enough. I bet if you put that vodka into the ginger beer, it'd make a pretty good, really alcoholic Moscow Mule.
Oh, boy. And, I mean, the ginger beer is only 4.5.
Yeah. But I mean, generally, I guess you would make it with Krabby's as well before, which no longer exists in Canada. But yeah, I guess you generally make it with alcoholic ginger beer, but you don't always have to, right? So,
although I will say, huge shout out to Tara, head bartender at the Nutana Curling Club. She once made a Moscow Mule, and I forget what she put in that didn't have ginger beer, had ginger ale, and she canceled out the sweetness somehow. And it was amazing. Just another one of the reasons the Nutana Curling Club is basically heaven on earth.
For me, I am going through a Nokomis mix pack right now, and I have the classic IPA because it's the beer that was in the fridge, quite frankly. I don't really have a reason to drink another one, but it's the one in the fridge, so that's what I drink.
And you just got back from 2 weeks in Ontario.
I did, yes.
Right? So it's not like your priority.
And where I took part in many Dominion City in Ottawa, one of my favorites there. The Sunsplit IPA, by far, like my all-time favorite beer out that way. Also finally got to try one from, our friend Ben Grant, something in the water brewing in Toronto. If you have a chance to pick up some of their stuff, if you're out that way, do it. It's top quality, really, really good stuff. Yeah.
I love how there's like this great beer culture here in Saskatchewan. It seems like pockets of Ontario. Like I know we've gone on about Northwestern Ontario beer, you know, Eastern Ontario beer in the Ottawa region where you were, and it's just like, those are just like the two kind of go-to places. You can't really go wrong with a lot of beers from there. Try everything. Like,
absolutely.
That's why I love about our sponsors, right? Like Pile of Bones is like, hey, give us the name, mentions the logos, but feel free to talk about anybody.
Interestingly enough, High Key does have, I think it's called Glorious and Free right now. It's basically a recipe that Dominion City came up with, and like they gave it to like a whole bunch of places across the country. So it's kind of a collab. High Key has that one up in Saskatchewan. So you should be able to see it out. It's in a red can. They probably have, they would have it at High Key. I know we've got some coming down this way soon. So,
well then, apparently it is in the Saskatoon Co-op Liquor.
I could see that, yeah.
So I will have to actually spend real money and not scene points and go there one day. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. What won't be happening tomorrow is the Saskatchewan Roughriders won't be playing a football game tomorrow or the day after that or the day after that or for basically a whole week before that. The Riders are on their bye week right now, but before they did that, of course, they played the BC Lions on Saturday night. I had to rejig my memory and when that game was, not only because it feels like forever ago already, but because I didn't watch it live. I watched it Sunday morning because I was flying back from Toronto on Saturday night. We got in at 1 a.m. I was not watching a football game at that point. So for me, the game was on Sunday morning, and I watched it in about an hour and a half, I think. So,
It was not one you had to watch for it very quickly turned into a passive watch.
Mm-hmm. It was very clear that the Saskatchewan Roughriders were the better team in that game, Trevor Harris. If Trevor Harris was in that game, I shudder to think what would have happened to the BC Lions there.
It would have looked like the Team BC U16 team against my nephew's team, Team Alberta, today at the U16 Challenge. I learned today there is a mercy rule in Football Canada National Championships.
Yeah.
I had to throw that in there. You knew it was coming at some
point. Yeah, of course. So it was a blow. It was probably worse than the score even indicated. It was kind of close at the half, but then Jeremiah Masoli just made an absolutely terrible decision to throw to the wide side there. And Tavon Campbell, as any professional defensive back in that scenario should, saw it coming and just took it all the way to the house with no one around him. And that was sort of the moment to me that you knew, okay, this game is over and this is going to escalate in a hurry. And it basically did after that.
Yeah, it felt like one of those games that you were waiting for the Riders to go Death Star mode, which they failed to do so many times.
Yeah.
And then that pick six. And you're like, oh, okay. And it's actually funny, like, the more you watch football, the more you see that, like, a right before the half, big error like that can absolutely crush a team, and you can see that coming, right?
Well, and it was like the double whammy, because it wasn't just the pick six, but the Lions had actually a pretty good drive going, and they had a chance to take a 4-point or maybe more lead at the half, and instead it went back the other way, and it was lights out from there.
And it's funny, like, you and I have been, and I was actually going to text you right before that happened, going like, why can't this team put teams away? Like, they were the better team. You were watching it the whole way. AJ Ouellette has I hope AJ Ouellette heard us dunk on him and we're like his motivation for being really good this year, because I like it when AJ Ouellette is good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy, likes wrestling. I've never wished ill will on him, but I just thought that, you know, maybe they should have let him go. But I'm glad that I was yet again wrong, like I have been so often. It just seemed like, they were getting the body blows in. It just, they couldn't pull ahead again. And I thought, oh. And then Campbell just does Campbell things. And it was nice seeing them finally put somebody away. And it leads me to the question that you, me, and Greg separately and all together at the same time have all been discussing. Is BC this bad or is Saskatchewan this good?
I mean, the truth is probably somewhere in between. That obviously doesn't make for very good podcasting.
Does anything we do make
no,
for very
I mean,
good podcasting?
It's, that's debatable whether we've ever produced good podcasting or not.
A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the real shortages won't. Because of how slow ships move for most of this war, the U.S. was still receiving oil that set sail months ago. But other parts of the world are already feeling it. Asia, Europe, Africa. That's why prices are rising now, because demand is increasing as supply tightens. But the U.S. is just beginning to experience the real shortage, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last for much, much longer. Oil doesn't just power your car, it powers the systems that make and deliver your medications, and when supply slows, access becomes less predictable. The difference between panic and peace is preparedness with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're already ready when you need it. Get your Jace case today at jace.com.
But I think currently BC, I think it leans a little more. The lopsidedness of the score, I think, leans more towards BC being bad.
Yeah.
I think if Nathan Rourke is in that game, the Riders might have probably would have needed Trevor Harris to win.
Yes.
They could have maybe gotten away with it. Like, I'm not like they probably could have maybe won if Nathan Rourke was playing. I think the BC Lions are so very dependent on one guy right now, and that is completely obvious. And that was sort of the knock on them. And the question about the BC Lions heading into the season was, could they prove to be more than Nathan Rourke? Or is Nathan Rourke going to have to drag this team kicking and screaming to relevancy?
Right.
And it looks very much like Nathan Rourke is going to have to drag this team towards a playoff spot if they're going to get there.
Well, and I think, too, I think BC is a better team than they've shown, right?
Yeah.
Again, they've been without Nathan Rourke, and I think it's pretty obvious watching that game that Jeremiah Mazzoli's done.
Yeah, no question.
Like, you hate to see the way that he kind of has gone from...
Like, legitimately one of the... sort of one of the best guys in the league.
Yes.
Like, easy guy to cheer for. But it's clear that at this point, the BC Lions need to end this experiment because there is literally no possible way Chase Price could be worse. And he may still have an upside. So
no, it's looked bad. And you always feel bad for a guy that... It's not like it's age that caught up to him. It's not like he got the yips. It's been injury history, tons of it. He's gone from, you know, an MOP candidate to oof. He might honestly be the worst quarterback that's played a game in the CFL this year. And that's saying something because everybody's played their backup.
I mean, except Edmonton, ironically.
Right.
Calgary and Hamilton. Those three have not played their backups. Everyone else has played their backups mostly because of injury and because one guy couldn't answer his phone.
One guy didn't pick up when the AI assistant contacted him, but it is. It's brutal to see, but it's the harsh reality of BC. And I think, you know, Buck Pierce is a rookie head coach who's maybe stuck onto him a little bit too long. And let's not discredit the Riders here.
I think the
fact that BC, it's clear to me that yet again we are heading to another Saskatchewan Winnipeg showdown, at least the way it looks right now.
Yeah, and there's still a long way to go as we sit here on July 2nd. We know the CFL season is very long, and all wins matter, no question about that, but so much can still change between now and the end of the year. I think we could both sit here and confidently say the Saskatchewan Roughriders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are, you know, probably 95% going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
They should meet in the West Final, but that still remains up in the air because lots can change, right? And 100%. On any given...
We're not crowning them right now.
No, and in that West semifinal, which of the two ever happens to play in it, it could be, you know, the worst weather day in history in either city, and then something weird could happen and they could lose, right? So,
no, 100%. I mean, they're one of... If you just look at it, you know, maybe we're jumping on the wagon early, but it's just you look at the football they've been playing, they look at the way they play. You know, Saskatchewan's had some discipline issues, but it's just Saskatchewan's looked really good this year, right? Yeah.
They've looked really good. It's just been a matter of putting it all together for the course of a game. Winnipeg has obviously looked really good. It's hard to really knock them on much of anything. And Montreal is probably the third team that you would consider in that realm, as long as Davis Alexander is playing.
Yeah, because McLeod Bethel-Thompson, speaking of guys that just don't have it.
He has a little bit more than Jeremiah Masoli. Like, I think, like Nick Arbuckle, if he happens to get a few weeks and get into a little bit of a rhythm, he might start to improve. But, yeah, I wouldn't count on McLeod Bethel-Thompson to win me a Grey Cup. No.
No, certainly. And it's funny how the cream, as we all love a Macho Man Randy Savage reference, you know, how the cream rises to the top. And you're seeing that early. The thing that impressed me the most, I think, with the Riders, like, watching the game, I texted you saying, I think Jake Mayer's playing well. In context, I meant well for, you know, a backup. He's doing what he's doing. The offensive line, I was worried heading into this game. Mm-hmm. And
They don't have Trevor Harris taking one step back and throwing, right? So
Right. So I was a little worried, right? This is the first real test for that offensive line. And AJ Ouellette still hung 140, and Jake Mayer had tons of time,
I think as bad as Jeremiah Masoli was, the most unforgiving part of that game for the BC Lions is letting AJ Ouellette go for a 140 and the team rush for like 200 yards. You know Jake Mayer is quarterback, your other team is going to be running the football a ton. Knew this is the one thing you had to stop against the other team's offense in that week, and they couldn't do it.
In fairness, they were basically out of defensive linemen.
Not the entire game, and still, you're professional. They got to be able to do that. Like, maybe not necessarily like completely shut down, but you can't let a guy go for a 140.
No, you're bang on. Like no matter how many guys you're down, you got to find a way to stop the bleeding. And like you said, you knew exactly mm-hmm. what was going to happen,
yeah.
right? You know that Jake Mayer's in the game. They're going to give it to Ouellette. You know, the way you get an offensive line into a game is to let them run block. You know those kind of things were going to happen. See, what I wanted to see was BC's long snapper, Riley Pickett, who played D-line for the Saskatoon Hilltops and U of S Huskies before. I'm like, you got a guy there. Put him in.
It's funny that actually came up in the group chat that night. Like, I'm going to let Pickett. I think it was JC. I was wondering if they're going to let him play defense.
That's amazing. Yeah. Which they should have. I mean, I got a great Riley Pickett story. The kid was like a first-year rookie with the Hilltops, and we were in Kelowna, and he's like barely playing any snaps. He hadn't really bulked up yet. He's like, I'm going to make the CFL. I'm like, okay, sure you are. Yeah, I'm cheering for you. Fuck, did he prove me wrong? And I remember seeing him at university. I'm like, oh yeah, you bulked up. Yeah, you're going to make the CFL. It's all good. But like by the time the end of his Hilltops career came along, but I wanted to see Riley play some D-line.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah.
Give the kid a chance.
Yeah. Jake Mayer did get a chance to play in that game and show whether he's progressed at all since being a member of the Calgary Stampeders. And I think the jury's still out.
Yeah.
I think is a fair way to put it. He was okay enough for a backup. He should have had another touchdown if he was able to throw the ball better to Joe Robustelli, who made that absolute circus catch on the sideline. But there was a lot of other throws where he missed guys, and it wasn't that great when he was on. He only threw for 170 yards. Not that you need your backup to throw for 300 yards or anything like that, but it just, nothing about that game from Jake Mayer really inspired me that there's more on the horizon. Like, okay, if he has to play a few more games, he may feel a little more comfortable. Things may get a little better, as they do when you get more starting reps and mm-hmm. do all that sort of thing. But I'm not convinced that this guy really is more than we've seen him to be. And that doesn't mean that it was wrong to sign him. I think the theory and behind signing him remains strong, especially as a backup, but I'm just not sure it's going to work out. I really don't long-term. I think we'll see how the rest of the year plays out, but it's entirely possible that this team could be looking for another backup quarterback next year.
It was always the experiment.
Yep.
Right.
It was. Yep. It was a low risk experiment, right? Like you're not bringing Jake Mayer in hopes that he rebounds as a starting quarterback. It was like, okay, you can be the backup for year and we'll kind of see how it goes. And then best case scenario, maybe you do prove to be better under Mark Mueller, under a different system, a fresh start. And we can, you know, maybe give you a chance to start down the road, or we just after a year cut bait and call the whole thing done. Because especially when it looks like, at least what we saw in the preseason, you know, Jack Cohn might have something.
Well, and that's it. You're not forcing Cohn into a situation where he's going to be. Because Harris is going to miss games.
Yeah.
Harris missed this game. Harris is going to miss more games.
I kind of feel like if this game was later in the year, Trevor Harris would have played. Because
probably.
He did practice a little bit during the week. And I think he was a full participant, like the last full practice of the week. So they obviously just decided, let's just give you another week because of where we are in the season. And I think that's a smart decision. It's a great decision. It's a head coach that is seeing the big picture, which is a thing we love to talk about on this, right? Process over results. And the process here was, okay, you know, even if we lose this football game, it is far better to make sure that we have our starting quarterback ready to go down the road rather than play him at, say, I don't know, whatever he would have been, 85% the week before a bye week at the end of June.
Well, and 3-0 starts let you do that.
Yes.
Right? That's,
even,
that's
I think even I think unless the unless they were an 0-3 for some reason, I'm fairly confident that Corey Mace would have made the same decision.
Well, and you're seeing, you know, Corey Mace in his, you know, gaining experience as a head coach.
Yeah.
Making that decision, making the right decision for the long-term future of the team versus, you know, Buck Pierce in, you know, making the Mike O'Shea coaching tree look like the Bill Belichick coaching tree right now, sticking with the old guy for a little bit too long to be safe. I think Mayer still spread out the ball well.
Like, I mean, the most important thing was he didn't have the grave mistake to give the BC Lions any hope.
No.
That's the one thing you could say he did well in that game.
Well, and I could almost, you could almost argue that with how well they were able to run the ball.
Yeah, that took away some yards, no question.
Right. I think Trevor Harris might have had similar numbers in that game. Right? If under the
they would have passed more in general, though.
Right. But the thing I like about Mark Mueller, as opposed to, you know, guys we've seen like Jason Moss and other guys we've seen come through here, when he sees something that's working, he sticks with it.
Yeah.
Well, he's not stubborn and goes, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to run it. You know, they're shutting down the run. I'm going to run AJ 25 times for 50 yards, right? He sees, okay, they're like melted margarine on the defensive line right now, so let's just run it down their throats, right? And that's one thing Mark Mueller does very good. Jake Mayer, to me, he was okay. He didn't lose the game for them, and I think that's just what, in that situation where you can run the ball, that's all you're asking your quarterback to do.
And it went off absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think
if they need him for a more significant period of time, he's going to have to show more, and I'm not sure it's there.
I think it might still be. I don't know. It goes back to there. This is a guy that he almost reminds me a bit of like Drew Willey to a degree. That this
Drew Willey
was
actually good before he got his brains beaten in Winnipeg.
Right. But, and that's the thing. Like Jake Mayer was the guy that basically made Bo Levi Mitchell disposable. Right.
And so they thought. I mean, I question Dave's read of that, to be honest.
No, but he did have a couple decent seasons, like before Bo left, he looked pretty okay. And you almost wonder if he's been, you know, Dave Dickinson has become, as he's gotten older, has become so much more conservative with his play calling. And again, it's the old chicken before the egg. Did he get more conservative because he saw Jake Mayer in practice and thought he sucked? Or was he just getting more conservative because that's what he thought was going to win ball games for whatever reason, right? So I think the jury's still out. He did his job this week. Obviously, you want Trevor Harris there because he has continued to prove to be really, really good. But I don't know. I think Jake Mayer could still get it done for this team. But now he's been Fraser cursed, so now he won't. So I do apologize, Jake.
That is definitely a thing that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Who the next backup quarterback for the Saskatchewan Roughriders could be is now publicly available.
Yes, I love this.
This is a thing we've talked about for a long time on this podcast, and I know we're not the only ones. Like, I'm not taking any credit for this happening whatsoever.
Trav and I were talking about this back in the 2-and-out days.
Yeah, but randomly today, on Wednesday, July 2nd, 5 weeks into the regular season, the CFL has announced you can go now to cfl.ca/negotiation list with a dash between negotiation and list. I'm sure there's a button probably on their homepage.
On their homepage right now, and I cannot find a button.
I'm sure it's somewhere.
I don't know.
Anyway, the link is active. If you go to 3downnation.com, John Hodge wrote the story about the negotiation list being public. You can click on, in that story, there's a link you can click to get to the negotiation list.
Oh, it's right under news.
Yeah.
There we go.
Of course. Why would it be under, like, players or something like that?
Right, or players or teams or standing. Yep. Yeah, anyways. Yes, it's right under news.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that we talked about for a while because I think this was such an easy thing to put on the website because, like, the transactions are up there every day. You can see every sort of little contract negotiation, you know, practice roster move, everything, every move that a team technically makes, whether it's, you know, real or sort of, you know, paperwork or whatever, shows up on the transaction page on CFL.ca. So why did a certain, you know, why did the same idea not exist for the negotiation list? Because one of the knocks on the neg list was, well, it changes so much, how could we possibly ever keep it up to date? You've done it with transactions forever, so why not? And to be clear, it's funny because this there's like 405 names on this list, and there's maybe, if you're a really hardcore college fan, maybe like 50 guys you recognize, right?
Right.
Like, so we're talking about complaining about a list of a whole bunch of nobodies for the most part being out there, but it is still information that helps the fan base stay engaged. And it's so easy to do. And I don't know if Stuart Johnston was the guy to like push this over the finish line to make this a thing or not. But it's happened under his watch, so he's going to get credit for it one way or the other, because this is an incredible move. Because now you can go, you can click on all the teams. The website itself still feels a little clunky to me. I'm sure there's got to be an easier way to lay this out. But anyway,
and I'm sure they'll come up with that.
Yeah,
right?
That's neither here nor there right now. But you can see the entire neg list of every team. So I'm looking at the Saskatchewan Roughriders one right now. You know, there's names on there you can see now, like Chase Claypool. You know, people
Trey
will know
Lance.
Who he is. Trey Lance, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, John Rhys Plumsey, like Plumlee, like there's names of people, you know, Will Rogers, like these are guys that if you watch a little bit of college football, you are familiar with. Now, there's a lot of names on here. I have no idea who they are. But it is still interesting because now you can say like, oh, you know, like say Anthony Brown, you know, maybe he comes up to, well, he's actually pretty good. Maybe that's not a good example. You know, defensive lineman Van Fillinger. Maybe he's in camp next year, and you're like, oh, wait, I remember seeing that name on the neg list. And now you know sort of where that comes from. And it's all just a bigger picture, and this is the same discussion we've had about salary cap to a degree, but at least contract lengths in terms of engaging the fan base in the bigger picture and in more ways. And I think this is just an easy thing they always could have done, and they finally done it.
This strikes me, though, as the TV exec move, right? Because these guys are either playing, you know, a lower level of pro ball or they're in college.
Yeah.
I can just see
some of them are on, like NFL practice squads and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. But I can see if you ever have a chance, you've got a highlight pack featuring one of these guys that's still in college or maybe a guy's playing minor pro, you know, playing spring ball or something like that. Now you've got an opportunity to say, hey, that's the Riders neg lister, and you get to talk about this guy. It gives you a reason to talk about this guy, right? When you're going into reading highlights and creating stories for games, you always want to tie in. And it seems so silly to me that TSN, who's the rights holder and the only rights holder, and also has all of this college football on TSN and TSN Plus, and the spring football and any other football you can find, never had that tie-in, right? Like, I just picture Jay Onright reading highlights of some obscure bowl game and saying, hey, that guy's on the neg list or whatever, right? So
assuming his writer's done the research to actually look it up, but yes.
That's also fair, right? I mean, the opportunity's there, and I think it gets rid of some of the mystique around it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you always wonder, oh, who's on this neg list? Like, who's been traded? Like, to me, it's going to make it more fun because now you can see if a guy is dropped off the neg list and becomes a star someplace, you can kind of go, well, it's like how the Riders once had Vernon Adams Jr. for a bit. It's cool. It gets fans talking. And most importantly, and I will be sending this to the Sickos committee, the Riders are one of only two teams with a punter on their neg list.
A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the real shortages won't. Because of how slow ships move for most of this war, the U.S. was still receiving oil that set sail months ago. But other parts of the world are already feeling it. Asia, Europe, Africa. That's why prices are rising now, because demand is increasing as supply tightens. But the U.S. is just beginning to experience the real shortage, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last for much, much longer. Oil doesn't just power your car. It powers the systems that make and deliver your medications. And when supply slows, access becomes less predictable. The difference between panic and peace is preparedness with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're already ready when you need it. Get your Jace case today at jace.com.